Well, hello and welcome to all who may be listening to episode 8 of the Newport Storytellers podcast. And hello, Matt MacArthur, my co-conspirator in this storytelling adventure.
And hello to you, Jackie Carroll. Here we are together again, and the record button is being pressed. We're now set to enjoy a collection of stories and souls, of which most, but not all, were recorded in Newport, Victoria, Australia.
Newport is located on the unceded lands of the Bunurong, and we acknowledge their unbroken connection to country that has long been mapped by story, song and dance.
And we pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging, and to the elders of all nations, and to the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders who may be listening.
Throughout the series, all the contributors, if not within the 3015 postcode, are either close by or they are supporters of our regular storytelling and music gatherings that take place under the broad wings of the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club.
The club storytellers meet on the third Friday of the month in the Newport Hub. But since COVID, you've been doing things a little differently, Jackie.
We are indeed doing things a little differently. During COVID and the interminable lockdowns, we switched to meeting exclusively on Zoom.
Is a switch the same as a pivot?
I believe it is, Matt. I believe it is. And in making Zoom an option, people began joining us from near and far, as near as around the corner and as far as India, Singapore, the UK, Brazil and Canada. When we resumed face-to-face gatherings, we felt a connection and a responsibility to our distant story buddies, and we didn't want to say goodbye.
So now, with the help of the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club musician and tech whiz, Adrian Newington, storytelling gatherings have become a hybrid affair, a Zoom and Room affair. Also, at the time of writing this episode, it was midwinter and COVID and flu were once again isolating people, and the hybrid sessions have been appreciated, especially by those stuck at home alone.
That's right, they have, Matt. At the Newport Hub, we're able to bring people into the live room, wherever they are in the world, and everyone can chat and share stories. Details for when we gather and how you can join either virtually or in the flesh are all on the NFFC website, nffc.org.au, if you can remember that. And we'll be hearing from Adrian very soon, as he is our featured singer-songwriter for this episode. Now, I really think that's enough of us. Let's get on with the stories and songs. What is the plan for episode 8, Matt?
The plan, Jackie. The plan. Well, for this episode, we're kicking off with a poem from Ted Smith. Ted is a regular at the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club events, and as well as his recitation abilities, he is known for his skilled finger-picking guitar. Ted is followed by Adrian, and then we have Susan Hall, who will be sharing a traditional folktale, and Dharma. Well, no podcast would be complete without a song from Dharma, but more about that later. Time to dive in then.
First up is Ted Smith. Ted is a fine teller of verse, a skilled guitarist and a superb woodworker, and he's deeply involved in the Hobson's Bay Men's Shed. I asked Ted to revive his recitation of Sed Hanrahan by an Australian bush poet who used the pen name John O'Brien. Sed Hanrahan is believed to be first published in July 1919 in the Catholic Press. I won't say any more, as following the telling, Ted talks about the poem and O'Brien, and then we digress and we learn something of the Hobson's Bay Men's Shed.
"We'll all be ruined," said Hanrahan, in accents most forlorn. Outside the church, mass began one frosty Sunday morn. The congregation stood about, coat collars to the ears, and talked of stock, or crops, and drought, as it had done for years. "It's looking crook," said Daniel Croak. "Bedad, it's crook, me lad." For never, since the banks went broke, had seasons been so bad. "Oh, it's dry all right," said young O'Neill, with which astute remark he squatted down upon his heel and chewed a piece of bark. And so, around, the chorus ran, "It's keeping dry."
"Aye, no doubt."
"We'll all be ruined," said Hanrahan, "before the year is out. The crops are done, but you'll have your work to save one bag of grain, wiped from here, way out the back of Burke. They're singing out for rain. They're singing out for rain," he said, "and all the tanks are dry." The The congregation scratched its head and gazed around the sky. There won't be grass in any case enough to feed an ass. There's not a blade on Casey's place when I came down to Mass. If rain don't come this month, said Dan, and cleared his throat to speak. We'll all be ruined, said Hanrahan. If rain don't come this week. A heavy silence seemed to steal on all at this remark, and each man squatted on his heel and chewed a piece of bark. We want an inch of rain, we do, O'Neill observed at last, but Croak maintained we needed two high and put the danger past. If we don't get 3 inches, man, nay, four, and break this drought, we'll all be ruined, said Hanrahan, before the year is out. In God's good time, down came the rain, and all the afternoon, on iron roof and window pane, it drummed a homely tune, and through the night it pattered still, and lightsome, gladsome elves on dripping spout and windowsill kept talking to themselves. It pelted, pelted all day long, singing at its work, till every heart took up the song, way up to Back of Burke, and every creek a banker ran, and dams filled o'er the top. We'll all be ruined, said Hanrahan. This rain doesn't stop. And stop it did, in God's good time. And spring came into fold, a mantle o'er the hills sublime of green and pink and gold. And days went by on dancing feet with harvest hopes immense, and laughing eyes beheld the wheat, nid nodding o'er the fence. And oh, the smiles on every face as happy lad and lass through grass, knee deep, on Casey's place came riding down to Mass. What's around the church, in clothes genteel, discursed the men of mark, with each man squatting on his heel, chewing a piece of bark. There'll be bushfires, aye, but show me, man, the will without a doubt. We'll all be ruined, said Hanrahan, before the year is out.
So we've just listened to Ted Smith's recitation of a most interesting poem that is very relevant to our times, I think. I remember, Ted, I heard you reciting this poem years ago one night at a club meeting, Newport Phil and Folk Club meeting, and you bowled me off my feet with how you did it. But now I'd like you to share with us a little bit about the poem. Give us the title again, in case people have already forgotten. Give us the story of the author.
Well, the title is Said Hanrahan, and the author was John, an Irish priest by the name of John Patrick Hartigan, and he wrote under the pseudonym of John O'Brien. And I was particularly taken by the fact that even today, even several years ago, before the current bout of really serious flooding and widespread flooding and bushfires, that this poem still had a very, very contemporary feel about it, contemporary relevance to the present day conditions. But I was also very, very taken with the tenure of the poem, which exposed typically the Irish attitude to adversity, and to taking any adversity and to putting some kind of a spin on it to make light of it, to make a joke of it. And I think that the characters in this particular poem, I could just imagine them stood outside the window of the vestry whilst the priest was changing his garb for the Sunday morning mass. And this is exactly what they would be talking like. There'd be the skeptics and the occasional, if you can find an optimism amongst farmers. But the skepticism would certainly came through, and the strength of the characters really came through as well. So those characters are as alive to me today as they were in, I guess, around about the 1890s. There's a relevance to when the banks went broke, and that would be around about that time. So I'm guessing that it would have been written very shortly after that that particular disaster.
Okay, because there was that big financial crash in the 1890s. So this poem was written just before that. So, Ted, for the folk club people who are listening, they know you better as a very skillful, he's making a face now, finger-picking guitarist. You're also very well known in our community for the work you do with the Hobson's Bay Men's Shed. So would you like to say something about the Men's Shed?
I think it's I'm very happy to say something about the Men's Shed. I think it's an absolutely wonderful organisation. Of course, it's spread all over. It started in this country and it's spread all over this country. And indeed, it's migrated to some extraordinary nether parts of the entire world. So you'll find Men's Sheds in Canada, in Scotland, in Iceland, all over the place. The Hobson's Bay Men's Shed, I'm given to understand, is the largest men's shed association in Australia. And I think currently we have something in the region of 450, maybe 500 members, certainly in that order. And the diversity of interests is also quite enormous. It's rather like, it has a sort of ethos of our folk club, that people get involved, and those individual people start up isolated groups. So you'll have pelican peddlers who go out on nature rides. You have a very, very strong woodworking group, metalworking group, auto group, electronics, a very strong and burgeoning musical group. And, of course, we have the historical group who are currently working on the restoration of the two buildings and the gardens in the Truganina Explosive Reserve.
Those projects are very close to my heart, because those buildings are the temporary home for the Hobson's Bay Wetland Centre. Listen, Ted, thank you so much. We're recording this in my back room in Newport, and thank you for giving up your Sunday and sharing a poem with us.
It's been entirely my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted, for all you give to this community. Matt, do you remember our trip to the Men's Shed a few years ago?
I do. I remember it as a hive of activity, a hammering and bangering that spilled outside of the shed and into the sun. I also remember the hospitality of the men and the pride they took in their work.
Well, Matt, it's time to leave the shed, because this is the moment where we feature a singer-songwriter from the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club. And for this episode, we have Adrian Newington. Adrian lists his workplace as happily retired, but knowing how many hours he volunteers at the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club and browsing his YouTube channel, it seems he's certainly very busy in his happy retirement. Guitarist and songwriter, Adrian's music making is informed by his personal and spiritual development, reflecting a philosophical approach to life.
And his song is a nice counterbalance to Hanrahan's cry, "We'll all be ruined." Here's Adrian in conversation with you, Jackie, followed by his song, "It's Going to Be All Right."
Hello, Adrian.
Hello, Jackie.
How are you?
Very good, thank you.
You're looking good on Zoom.
Oh, thank you.
First up, I want to say thank you for agreeing to letting us include your song in our podcast.
Sure.
And it is customary to get a few details from our singer-songwriters. And so I thought we just might begin with the story behind this song.
Well, It's Going to Be All Right was the culmination of a lot of personal growth I'd been applying myself to. In about the late 80s, my first marriage broke up. And at the time, there was a lot of self-help books in bookshops in the city, and I worked in the city. And these were written by everyday folk, not writers or authors, just people documenting their experiences. And it was there was a lot of books, self-help, personal growth, just people sharing their stories.
I remember those books very well, and I can remember reading a lot of them also, because I think we're almost age mates, Adrian, and I think we grew up not being encouraged to think inwardly.
Yep.
And, yeah.
Well, for myself, I had recognised the need perhaps for some personal growth, and these books were full of wonderful information which I soaked up, including many philosophies which I was unfamiliar with at the time. And essentially what happened was, perhaps after a year or two of sort of changing the way I think, because I do remember actually going to a conference at the Williamstown Town Hall once, and they had a big projector, and they projected up a sign that said, if you want to change your life, you've got to change the way you think. And I thought, wow, that's a really powerful statement. So much information in that brief sentence, and which it was perfectly in tune with my little journey, as it were. So after about 2 years, the philosophies of like letting things go and not sweating the big stuff and the small stuff and all that.
Mm. Well, the song,
I just had that realisation, yeah, everything is going to be all right. You know?
Oh, sorry, I keep interrupting. I just wanted to say the song really captures a very light and... I've listened to it a couple of times because I was trying to decide which one from all your songs. I visited your YouTube channel, which one mm-hmm. I thought would work, and I just found myself moving to the song, and I thought it was a wonderful contrast to the poem that Ted Smith recited, Said Hanrahan, where he's very pessimistic, and the refrain in the poem is, "Oh, we'll all be ruined." But I'm curious, where did you record the song? It's got a very full sound.
It was in a studio in an old factory in South Melbourne called Studio 7. And I met the recording engineer, Chris Shuri. We met at the Australian Singer-Songwriters Association. There was a meeting in... Paran somewhere once a month, and Chris, my friend, she owned the studio. She was also in a hard rock band, and she looked like
and played the songs of Susie Quattro.
The Songwriters Association, does it still exist?
Yes, it does. It's changed, a number of times. I think it's now based in Western Australia.
Ah.
But it was a Victorian institution, as it were.
And how many instruments do you play, Adrian?
Well, guitar is my first instrument, but I can get my way around a piano. I know the chords, the basic chords, and I know enough to contribute to an arrangement of my songs in my own little humble recording studio.
Well, I think your songs sound absolutely brilliant, and we'll put a link on our podcast page to your YouTube channel.
Thank
you. We'll also try and track down that Songwriters Association and put a link to that. And I want to thank you very much for spending this brief time with me and telling me a bit about your songwriting and the song that we're about to hear.
Thank you, Jackie.
Most to take my tears away. In a touch, the shadows deep inside made way for lovers' fears subside. By a voice that whispered gently to my heart, it's gonna be alright. Everything is gonna work out fine. It's gonna be alright. Everything is gonna work out fine. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. I never knew this peace could ever be. To think it's all inside of me. There when I was most in need, gentle thoughts would come to me to teach me how to listen to my heart. And I said, it's gonna be alright. Everything is gonna work out fine. It's gonna be alright. Everything is gonna work out fine. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna work out fine. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna work out fine. It's gonna be alright.
Thanks, Jackie and Adrian. Adrian was co-opted onto the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club committee in August 2021, and there's no way we could offer the hybrid Zoom and live sessions without him. Please visit the club website at nffc.org.au to find all the details you need to participate in club activities. Click on Join In and scroll through the offerings. There really is something for everyone at whatever level of musical or storytelling skill.
So now we've arrived at story number two, and we're about to hear from Susan Hall. Susan lives to the northwest of us on Wurundjeri country.
She is a librarian and dog lover who also enjoys strumming a ukulele. While growing up, her father would spin the wildest yarns imaginable. Susan discovered her enjoyment of telling a tale about 20 years ago as a children's librarian, adding told tales to storytime sessions. She says, "The power and joy of having a story told to you is like no other, and the excitement it drums up does not fizzle out when you leave the realms of childhood." Over the years, Susan has developed a strong interest in folktales from around the world and sharing these stories to all ages. Here's Susan with The Old Woman Who Lived in a Vinegar Bottle, an English folktale, recorded by Susan at home with the technology at hand.
The Old Woman Who Lived in a Vinegar Bottle, an English folktale. There once was an old woman who lived in a vinegar bottle. Don't ask me why. It was a very common old vinegar bottle, maybe a little larger than most, but still it made for a very small house. The old woman would often sit on her front steps and complain. "Oh, what a pity, what a pity, 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 that I should live in a tiny house such as this. Why, I should be living in a charming cottage with a thatched roof and roses growing up the walls. That's what I deserve." One day, a fairy happened to be flying overhead, and she heard the old woman's complaint. "I can do that," thought the fairy. "If that's what she wants, that's what she'll get." And to the old woman she said, "When you go to bed tonight, turn around three times and close your eyes. In the morning, just see what you shall see." Well, the old woman thought the fairy was likely batty, but she decided to give it a try. When she went to bed that night, she turned around 3 times, closed her eyes. When she opened them again in the morning, she found herself in a charming cottage with a thatched roof and roses growing up the walls. "It's just what I've always wanted," she said. "I know I'll be happy here." But not a word of thanks did she give to the fairy. The fairy went north, the fairy went south, the fairy went east, and the fairy went west. She did all the business she had to do. Then she began to think about the old woman. "I wonder how the old woman is getting along, the one who used to live in a vinegar bottle. I think I'll stop around and see." When she got to the charming cottage, the fairy found the old woman sitting and complaining. "Oh, what a pity, what a pity, pity, pity that I should live in a tiny cottage like this. Why, I should be living in a smart row house with lace curtains at the windows and a brass knocker on the door. That's what I deserve." "Well," said the fairy, "I can do that if that's what she wants. That's what she'll get." And to the old woman she said, "When you go to bed tonight, turn around 3 times and close your eyes. And when you open them again in the morning, just see what you shall see." The old woman didn't have to be told twice. She went right to bed. She turned around 3 times and closed her eyes. When she opened them again in the morning, she found herself in a smart row house with lace curtains at the windows and a brass knocker on the door. "It's just what I've always dreamed of," she said. "I know I'll be happy here." But not a word of thanks did she give to the fairy. The fairy went north, the fairy went south. The fairy went east, the fairy went west. She did all the business she had to do. Then she began to think about the old woman. "I wonder how the old woman is getting along, the one who used to live in a vinegar bottle. I think I'll stop around and see." When she got to the smart row house, there sat the old woman in her brand new rocking chair, rocking backwards and forwards and complaining. "Oh, what a pity, what a pity, pity, pity that I should have to live in a row house with common neighbours on either side. Why, I should be living in a mansion on a hilltop with a manservant and a maidservant to do my bidding. That's what I deserve." When the fairy heard this, she was much amazed. But she said, "Well, if that's what she wants, that's what she'll get." And to the old woman she said, "When you go to bed tonight, turn around 3 times and close your eyes. And when you open them again in the morning, just see what you shall see." The old woman turned around 3 times and closed her eyes. When she opened them again the next morning, she found herself in a mansion on a hilltop with a manservant and a maidservant to do her bidding. This is just what I've always deserved," said the old woman. "I know I'll be happy here." But not a word of thanks did she give to the fairy. The fairy went north, the fairy went south. The fairy went east, the fairy went west. She did all the business she had to do. And then she began to think about the old woman. "I wonder how the old woman is getting along, the one who used to live in a vinegar bottle. I think I'll just stop around and see." But when she came to the mansion on the hilltop, she found the old woman in her velvet chair, sitting and complaining. "Oh, what a pity, what a pity, 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 that I should have to live in a draughty old mansion. Why, I should be living in a palace. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I should be the queen, with musicians to entertain me and courtiers to bow to me. That's what I deserve." "Good heavens," thought the fairy, "will she never be content? Well, if that's what she wants, that's what she'll get." And to the old woman she said, "When you go to bed tonight, turn around 3 times and close your eyes. When you open them again in the morning, just see what you shall see." The old woman could not wait to go to bed that night. She turned around 3 times and closed her eyes, and when she opened them again the next morning, she found herself in a palace, and she was the queen. There were musicians to entertain her and courtiers to bow to her. "Oh, yes, this is just what I've always dreamed of. I know I'll be happy here." But not a word of thanks did she give to the fairy. The fairy went north, the fairy went south. The fairy went east, the fairy went west. She did all the business she had to do. Then she began to think about the old woman. "I wonder how the old woman is getting along, the one who used to live in a vinegar bottle. I think I'll stop around and see." When she got to the palace, there sat the old woman, the queen on her throne, sitting and complaining. "Oh, what a pity, what a pity, 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 that I should be queen of such an insignificant little kingdom. Why, I should be empress of the universe. Oh, yes, empress of the universe. That's what I really deserve." "Well," said the fairy, "there's just no pleasing some people. If that's what she wants, that's what she'll not get." But to the old woman she said, "When you go to bed tonight, turn around 3 times and close your eyes, and when you open them again in the morning, just see what you shall see." The old woman hurried to bed that night. She turned around 3 times, closed her eyes. When she opened them again the next morning, she found herself right back in her vinegar bottle. "And that is where she shall stay," exclaimed the fairy. "If she can't be happy here, she won't be happy there. For after all, happiness comes from the heart and not the house." Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. For traditional story enthusiasts, I recommend, if you haven't already, have a listen to N. Chandler's telling of the Headley Cow in Episode 7. This story and The Old Woman Who Lived in a Vinegar Bottle both follow the same structure but are absolute opposites in sensibility. It's fun to compare. Susan, I'm hard-pressed to think of a story event where you haven't chipped in. You've assisted with and initiated World Storytelling Days at the Geelong and Eltham Libraries and supported our Stories by the Fire at the Newport Folk Festival, and you rarely miss our monthly session, either popping up on the Zoom screen or in the room. Matt, this brings us to the Dharma moment.
It does. The moment of musical nonsense. And this time she's chosen When Father Papered the Parlour, written and composed by R.P. Weston and Fred J. Barnes in 1910. We've added the link to an early recording by comedian Billy Williams. Apparently, this was one of Billy's most successful hits. Time to bop along to a tale of home renovation.
A parlor needed papering, and Pa said it's a waste to call the paper hangers in, so he made a bucket of paste. He got himself a paper, a ladder and a brush. He put on Mummy's nightingale and made her with a rush. Oh, when Father painted the parlor, you couldn't see Pa for paste. Dabbing it here, dabbing it there, paste and paper everywhere. Mother was stuck to the ceiling and the children stuck to the floor. Never known such a blooming family so stuck up before. Now Dad fell down, carrying the paper hanger's can, and little Henrietta sitting there with her young man. The paste stuck them together, we thought 'twould be for life. We had to call the parson in to make the man and wife. Oh, when Father painted the parlor, couldn't see Pa for paste. Dabbing it here, dabbing it there, paste and paper everywhere. Mother was stuck to the ceiling and the children stuck to the floor. I'd never known such a blooming family so stuck up before. La 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 la. La 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 la. We won't be moving away from the house anymore, for Father's gone and stuck the chairs and tables to the floor. We can't find the piano, though it's tall and rather broad. We think that it's behind the paper Pa stuck on the wall. Oh, when Father painted the parlor, couldn't see Pa for paste. He was dabbing it here, dabbing it there, paste and paper everywhere. Mother was stuck to the ceiling and the children stuck to the floor. I've never known such a blooming family so stuck up before. Now Father's sticking to the pub, through treading through the paste, and the whole family is so upset, they're looking pasty-faced. While Pa says now that Ma has spread the word from north to south, he wished that he had dropped a blob of paste into her mouth. Oh, when Father painted the parlor, you couldn't see Pa for paste. He was dabbing it here, dabbing it there, paste and paper everywhere. Mother was stuck to the ceiling and the children stuck to the floor. I've never known such a blooming family so stuck up before.
Woo! Thank you, Dharma, and a shout out to people listening to this who have little ones in their lives and who live close by. Dharma can be found hosting Storytime for the Very Young at JP Books 355 Somerville Road in Yarraville on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 11 a.m. Check the links for details on our podcast page. So, Matt, that's the end of episode 8 of the Newport Storytellers podcast. What is included in episode 9 is waiting patiently in the files, still to be arranged.
I look forward to it. This podcast was made possible by the support of Hobsons Bay City Council through its Make It Happen grants program, and for that, we are very grateful.
And we thank the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club, under whose auspices we bloom, and the storytellers and musicians who've joined us on this adventure. Please explore the links on our page for more information about the storytellers and musicians. And if you haven't already, visit the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club website and go for a wander. Lots of fun things to do.
Ted Smith and Dharma were recorded by Loosh Budgie Productions in Jackie's sunroom. Susan Hall made her recordings using the closest piece of technology to hand. Jackie kept us all on task and wrote our scripts, and I've assembled the stories and songs in my studio in Point Cook.
And thank you, Bruce Williams, for allowing us to include your tune, Road to Lewisburg, as our theme. Please, if you've enjoyed listening, spread the word. Stories and music are for sharing. I like writing the scripts, Matt. I can put words into your mouth.
You can, Jackie. Are the tongue twisters on purpose?
Yeah, I got the idea from J.K. Rowling. Stephen Fry, who recorded the Harry Potter series, said that in every book she writes, Harry Potter pocketed it. Have a crack at that.
Nah,
go on. Harry Potter pocketed it. Harry Potter pocketed it.
Harry Potter pocketed it.
Oh, first time.